They may sound nuts, so do the Wright brothers. Now, here's Fleeger and Briggs.
Welcome back in It's Just Sports here on the 12-Ounce Sports Network. Check out everything the network has to offer over at 12OunceSportsNetwork.com, at 12OZ Sports on Twitter, and of course you can follow your boys at Asylum Football on Twitter. It's Just Sports 123 at gmail.com, and you can find all the show archives over at AsylumFantasySports.com. I'm sorry for all these new, I hear, Rick, there's this new Alejandro Finkelstein fan club who was hoping that he was the new co-host of the show, but I am back and have taken it over. Yeah. But I did let him back in the studio. He's just back in his normal fetch Briggs a beer and do all the work in the background role, where I feel like he belongs, frankly.
You know, I'm kind of mixed. You know, with the sentiment of liking the Briggs and Finkelstein better than Fleeger and Briggs, it doesn't really matter to me because Briggs is in both of them, right. Which I'm fine with. So
I just unplugged my headphones.
Well, that's okay.
You
know, you don't need to hear anything.
It's all coming apart on me now.
All you have to do is bloviate, and you can do that quite well.
I do bloviate.
But welcome to It's Just Sports. We are Fleeger and Briggs right here on the 12-Ounce Sports Network, and you know, it's picking up slowly, Rick. We got some hockey playoffs. We got the first golf major of the year coming up this week.
And in prime time.
Those are the best. I love
it. They should move Augusta somehow, pick up Augusta and take it to the West Coast where you can watch that in prime time as well.
I tell you what, the PGA usually is like the poor forgotten stepchild of the majors. But being the first one this year, man, I tell you what, I am pumped for it.
Yeah, it's going to be a good – and when you look at it, you know, Tiger Woods, Koepka, all the big guys, Friday. Tomorrow's going to be rough. It's tomorrow, Thursday? Yeah, what day is today?
Right.
Wednesday,
yep.
Yeah. Friday's going to be perfect. You got all these guys teeing off, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock Eastern time. It's going to be great. And I'll be curious to see what, for the smaller tournaments so far, the no fans has not been noticeable on the tour. I wonder what a major is going to look like with that kind of wall-to-wall coverage.
I don't know, but it's going to be great. And you know what? History actually could be made. Do you know Koepka could be the first three-peat champion since, like, the 1920s?
And it looks good for him, right, after that slow start and dealing with that knee injury. Now, you know, the second place finish last week, and he looked like Koepka.
The guy's a machine, man. He's Nick Faldo of the 90s.
Yeah, except
I mean,
with
really.
No personality. He's
exactly. That's what I'm saying. I mean,
Faldo had no personality?
Oh, of course not.
He's got such a personality now that surprises
me. Exactly. But, no, he was very, very dry compared to, like, some of the characters. Yeah, you got to realize some of the guys that he was going up against, the older guys, the Floyds, the Nicklauses,
right.
The Watsons, as he was coming up. I mean, he was like quiet, dry, robotic, and just like a machine, kind of like Koepka is now. Only Koepka is much more like a machine than Faldo was. Faldo at least would acknowledge, you know. I mean, Koepka
sees
nothing.
We all remember what tournament was it last year where Koepka's walking around, he's got that 13 on his arm and couldn't be bothered to look at her when he walked away.
Yeah.
Now, that may be a product of, you know, she's just average in his stable when you look at millionaire, you know, good-looking golf guy. But, he's just a complete dullard. But fun to watch play. So, and I got to admit something, Rick. I'm going to do something I never do. I'm going to admit when I was
say
wrong.
Say something intelligent?
Well, that's not going to happen. We know better than that. I'm going to admit I was wrong about something.
Okay.
When I came bursting through the doors and ruined the Briggs and Finkelstein love fest
seance
of last week, whatever that thing was.
It was a professional sports podcast.
I don't know if I'd go that far. I mean,
Alejandro, do you concur?
I mean, he did say that it was a professional sports cast prior to the show going
on. Yes,
he
did.
Sounded more to me like.
Anyway, let's get on with your humility.
Like
you're admitting you're wrong. I want to hear
coffee
this.
Shops. Is
I
want to
hear
I
this.
Thought it was. Oh, so I got the whining and railing about how in the early on the scrimmages for the NHL, how I didn't like the presentation, I didn't like the sound.
Right.
What they've done since it got rolling, wow. I honestly don't miss the crowd. They do a good job with the kind of piped in crowd noise, unlike the NBA, who just took it right from that NBA 2K, and it never sounds right. It doesn't fit. They've done a good job with that. Even something as stupid as the color of and the logos and the branding on covering the seats was brilliant, number one. And with what they covered it with, they did a really nice job. I'll tell you what, it doesn't bother me whatsoever. I kind of like
it.
It
sure beats the smiling catchers in the dugouts, right, like in baseball, right, and all that. I agree.
I kind of really like it, and they're not doing that stupid thing like the NBA's doing where they're taking, you know, videos of people and superimposing them in seats, and it's just weird heads that aren't looking anywhere. It looks clean. It looks kind of sleek. They've created enough background noise where you don't notice the awful sounds hockey really does make when it's quiet, the skates grinding, the boards. The only time I noticed it was yesterday when the kid from, I think it was Toronto, right, got carted off and they were pounding their sticks and it got real quiet. That was kind of weird. But in-game presentation, I've really, really enjoyed it. It looks good.
Yeah, some of the – obviously you don't have the magic of, like, the home team if they score and all that, the Oregon and just going crazy. But, yeah, I agree with you. It's not nearly as obnoxious as we talked about last week and we thought was going to be happening. And, boy, some of these series are setting up nice, too.
And
we talked about a hot goalie. And if Montreal had any firepower, the way Carey Price is playing, it should be Pittsburgh would be on the ropes right now.
I still feel like they're in trouble. Going into game three
this
tonight.
This power play is a mystery that's going to kill them.
Well, that could be. But Carey Price is playing so well, so unbelievably. I mean, game one, they should have been up 4-0 before 10 minutes into the period.
You know what he reminded me of? Not to interrupt. He reminded me of Dominic Hasek back, about 97, 98 with the Wings, where he was like standing on his head, you know, almost the whole game and basically single-handedly saved the Red Wings.
Right, yeah, absolutely. And that's what it is. And it was bad in game one. Game two was so much worse, which is the only reason the Penguins won that game, where the puck was never in the offensive zone of Montreal. I mean, if they had any type of competency whatsoever from the wing positions, Pittsburgh would be in trouble, and they may still be.
I still feel the advantage of Pittsburgh, because Montreal just doesn't have the guns.
No.
Price can only take that onslaught so long, as game two actually proved that they finally found some chinks in that armor, but they provide him no help.
No, none.
I mean the poor guy.
Zero. Yeah. He's just in a shooting gallery.
Yeah.
But you bring up the Penguins' power play. You know, I think it's stunning with the names on that power play that it can ever struggle. And it was a good power play throughout the season. So I've got to think they can figure it out. But the officials seem to gift them a 5-on-3 every game here quite often. And they can do nothing with it. I think they've gotten to the point with their age and the way they do it. They've always kind of had this problem, right? They're too skilled. You got Crosby on the ice. You got Malkin on the ice. They get too much skill, Letang. So it gets too pretty sometimes. I think they need to do the kind of exactly what Washington does, only opposite, how they just put Ovechkin on that left wing and just keep feeding it to him and he just tries to drive it through the goalie. You need to put Malkin on that right wing, put Crosby below the goal line, and just keep feeding that and keep peppering.
Well, and not only that, you look back a few years ago when the Penguins had Sergei Gonchar.
Right.
Leading it down, you know, on the point from the defensive end, or defensive side of it. And he basically, 75% of the time, fired it at the goal.
Right.
And the skilled players collapsed on that. And that was successful. But you see this with Pittsburgh. It's like they're trying to set up this perfect shot every time, instead of just hammering away. I mean, they had their share of them at Price. Right. No, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, shoot that puck. I mean, you're going to get rebounds. You're going to get these weird kicks and bounces and so forth. They seem to too much gadgetry.
Now, I will say, not so much in game one. Game one was almost inexcusable, and they lost the game, and deservedly so, between Price and their as inept as they were on the power play. Game two, I think Montreal did a really good job clogging up the neutral zone, especially on the power play. The Penguins had a hard time getting in and getting set up, which is what you have to do if you're a Montreal, and Pittsburgh will figure that out. But once you get it in the zone, there's, and I don't, tonight they might go 4 or 5 on the power play. They're that skilled. I don't think there's any real breakdown in what to do. It doesn't look any different than anything they've done in the past. So I'm not overly concerned about it, but in a 5-game series, everything small becomes much, much bigger. It becomes a much bigger deal.
You're not kidding. I agree 100%.
But I like it. It's good to watch. It has been, and I've been surprised. And I'll tell you what, this is the first time I've ever sit down and logged a lot of time with Edmonton. I knew Connor McDavid was great, but holy crap, wow, is this kid. Wow. I don't think he gets talked about enough because he plays in Edmonton.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll tell you what, Edmonton is, I tell you, they're a legitimate threat to this cup.
They feel like the to me like the Penguins in, what was that, 2008?
Right.
When they got to the Stanley Cup
against
final,
the Wings, right, yeah.
Lost, and then went on that run of greatness after. They have that feeling to them.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, their talent.
I got to quit hitting my windscreen here.
Well, it's just not push it away from you.
It's not a very professional presentation.
Hey,
like
I just want to say that, you know, as you know, This is my birthday today. Just looking on Twitter here from DVE legend Sean McDowell. I got a birthday wish. And
how did DVE Sean McDowell know it was your birthday?
Because we're pals. We're tight.
So you told him?
And yeah, basically, yeah. No, a long time ago. But
so you're out there begging for birthday.
Exactly. Exactly. But no, I tell you what, I don't know what to say. Who actually the favorite is in the West?
Hold on. Let's not blow past this. How old are you?
How old do you think I am?
86.
Nope, not quite. Not quite.
Your guess?
Well, he said not quite. 84.
Four.
No, not
84.
Quite. Not quite.
And what are you? You're exactly 20 years older than me, right? You're the same age as my father.
Actually, I'm 19 years older than you.
Which makes me very happy.
I'm 19 years older than you.
You're the same age as my father. So
if
you
quit talking, I am 19 years older than
you. If you'd answered the question 10 minutes ago, could have moved on from there.
Well, nobody knows how old you are.
Well, that's true. How old am I? 43.
Three.
I'll be 43. I'm not quite there yet.
Right.
I got a little time left.
That's right.
Minus one, so you just turned 62.
Yes, I did.
Is that retirement age? What's retirement age?
With me?
Well, yeah.
Probably never.
You should retire.
I can't.
Then you could,
I have nothing to live on.
Prep for the show.
Unless you can, you know, just send me a monthly stipend, I
can't
retire.
Can't you get the Social Security and the Medicare?
Actually, I can't get none of that shit till, like, 60.
What are you cursing on the air for? Good Lord.
This isn't family friendly.
Filthy mind.
Nobody said anything about that.
Filthy mind.
It is his birthday. Let him go.
All right. Yeah, he's drunk as
I don't
rat.
Think I can get any of that stuff till like 66, something like that.
Oh. So you got to keep work? Well, whatever you consider work. I mean, most average Americans would not consider it work.
Alejandro and I work together. He can attest that we kill ourselves.
Yes. Judging on when I walked out of work.
Absolutely, every day.
The combined 37 text messages I had from the two of you told me how hard you were working today.
We never text you.
He did. You did. There was that big group text you had me on today. I walked out of that hole and bing, 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 bing.
That was over a long period of time.
I doubt that. Well, either say you should be working. Actually, that makes it worse.
That was quitting time.
If you rifled off 75.
It was quitting time.
I don't buy that for one second.
We get our job done.
Your tax
so we
dollars
can head
at
to
work,
the bar.
Ladies and gentlemen. Do you two go get sloshed before you even come
Where were we
to the
before
studio?
We came here?
Am I allowed to name drop?
Absolutely.
I don't see why. Hey, maybe we can hit them. Yeah, sure.
I mean, I talked to him before about it.
Yeah.
We were at Recon Brewing in Butler, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Great beer.
So
awesome beer.
Four visuals. These two are blowing out of work a half an hour early. going to a bar.
I mean, I left 2 hours early.
And then I'm killing myself at work. I show up at the studio just in time for airtime. They both got three empty beer bottles in front of them. It's a wonder this thing gets on the air.
Let's clarify things.
Oh, this ought to be good.
Number one, you are a kept man.
I'm working.
You have a killing myself. You have a wife that is professionally very successful, and you have this job where you toddle around.
I toddle around? I don't even know what that means.
Basically, you shake hands and kiss butt and say, here, sign this.
No, I'm the one who has to sign.
Oh,
I don't ask people to
so
sign.
So you actually have your own pen.
Right.
Great.
I'm killing myself down there.
Yeah.
Brutal.
I see that forearm's really huge from signing so much.
It's like the guy spinning the sign on the commercial.
Mental note for the Christmas show. You're getting a special pen.
Oh, a special pen. Nice.
Nice.
What are we talking about? Your birthday.
I have
Nobody
no
cares
idea.
About
oh,
your
no,
birthday.
Actually, the PGA. They're playing at... like we said, it starts on Thursday. They're playing at TPC Harding Park. And I don't know really know who the favorite is coming in. I mean, a lot of people.
It's got to be Koepka.
You would think
JT
so.
JT coming
but,
off that
But the
win.
Odds are Dustin Johnson, I think Rory McIlroy, I believe.
Rory's been terrible since this.
I know. Restart. I don't know why he's always such good odds because really, and since, God, it's been what? 2 or 3 years since he's won a major.
Well, since coming back from coronation here, he's been awful.
Well, that's true.
He's been trunk slamming most weeks.
And Tiger's playing. A lot of people think he's going to be competitive. Remains to be seen.
He won't, but I still can't wait to watch him.
It's hard to say. I mean, it depends.
I don't know anything about this course. Do you? I don't.
I really don't.
Don't know the person
no, about
it
I don't.
It lines up for.
I know
like
San
Tiger.
Francisco can be a very difficult place to play with the wind coming off the ocean a lot of times.
And there won't be any of the people there.
Well, in the weather
it's like
sometimes.
An awful place.
I mean, it can be cold sometimes, or at least cool and dampish sometimes. It can be windy. You know, it could be interesting. And not really knowing anything about TPC Harding Park, I can't see where it really. A lot of the veterans have any advantage because I don't think that's been some sort of
you don't hear them
regular
much,
place. Yeah. It's not like Augusta or Oakmont or
right.
something like that.
Yeah, it doesn't stick out to me. I'm sure they've played plenty of tour events there, but I don't remember any of them.
I don't either.
Let's go back to our roots for a minute, Rick. I was thinking about something today.
Okay, our roots are what?
Fantasy football.
Okay.
I don't want to do that. I never want to turn this into a fantasy show, even as football comes in. But something I got to thinking about today, with all the COVID and heating up and whether or not we'll even have games, those discussions are tired. We're not having it anymore. But fantasy drafts are coming up. Are there anything, and I'll put this out to the two of you in the studio here, is there anything you're going to alter in how, who, or the way you draft your fantasy team, knowing what pitfalls could exist for the coronavirus?
Well, since the opting out period is over with.
Right.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah.
Or tomorrow, that's right, yeah. It's tomorrow. But it doesn't seem like there's going to be that many more. So, I mean, you already know who's not going to be playing. I mean, you just draft like normal, I would think. Well, I mean, that's how I'm going to.
Because here's my thought. Here's what I thought about in watching what happened with the Marlins in baseball.
Right.
And what's happening right now with St. Louis. Normally, this wouldn't happen, but in a normal draft year, you could catch Clyde Edwards-Hilaire, Tyreek Hill, and Patrick Mahomes. That'd be pretty awesome. Yeah, they're all on one team. Yeah, you're going to get beat up on their bye week, but so be it. The way this thing can rip through a team and shut a team down for two
right.
or 3 weeks if a couple guys pop positive, I'm wondering, am I going to be reticent to have multiple players from the same NFL team, where I normally wouldn't be, obviously, but that type of something like that, I just wonder if that goes through your head. I don't know. Do you even think about it, or if I'm breaking new ground here?
I haven't thought about that part of it, but that's a very good point.
Of course it is.
What I was looking at going into it is I mean, you guys have drafted with me for years now. I will probably only take one tight end and
six or seven quarterbacks conservatively.
I mean,
mostly in a row.
Mostly in a row.
From what history shows.
First through fifth.
But joking aside, probably focus more on running backs and wide receivers. So,
well, one thing that we were discussing, and to, you know, while we're on the little fantasy subject, to some of the commissioners out there, think about including a couple of IR positions for rosters this year. When, if somebody, and make it corona specific, you know, if they get the virus, you can put them in IR, and it's no penalty. You pick up somebody else,
right?
But other than that, I can't really see it changing much for me, because you just have no idea where or when this may happen.
I think the one thing, kind of secondarily, kind of where you were going, you know, I wonder, I tend to not carry extra quarterbacks. I tend to not carry extra tight ends. You might have to now, right? One gets down on this for 2 weeks, and or maybe you don't. I don't know.
I think as far as quarterbacks go, though, we're in the point in the game where, unless you have that extremely high-rated top quarterback,
right. Yeah.
If you lose your quarterback, you can pick somebody up off the waiver wire and stream week to week.
Yeah.
And get by for the, I think it's 3 weeks, the COVID.
Yeah, theirs was long. Right. That's what got me thinking about it.
And that's the difference about a typical, like, redraft league, like you and I both play in the Scott Fish Bowl, which drafted a month ago.
Right.
Where you start two quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And so forth. And
we drafted before all the opt-outs.
Exactly. Yeah, we did do that. But, you know, irregardless of that, you have to have two quarterbacks starting, you know. And normally when you're drafting, you draft your couple quarterbacks, and now you at least have one extra just to supplement a bye week, maybe two extra for injuries. Now this takes into effect, you know, if you're in some sort of a super flex or two quarterback sort of a league, yeah, it could alter how you draft.
And 'cause I also wonder – you know, in terms of that and in being prepared, you have to think, let's say you don't get a full team outbreak of this thing, but you could certainly see it and probably will see it in position groups, right? Because they meet in smaller spaces. They tend to be together more. Think about, forget fantasy football, even real football.
Right.
If you're Andy Reid and your entire offensive line comes down with the COVID, and even if Patrick Mahomes doesn't get it, so you're bringing in seven donkeys off the street. Are you going to play Patrick Mahomes behind a CFL quality line for 2 or 3 weeks? I don't know. I'd be curious about that. What that's going to look like. That situation is going necessarily with the Chiefs, but it's going to arise.
That's a valid point. But say it is late in the year, and say just for example, they're in a tight race with whoever, the Chargers through Denver, whatever. Do you not play Patrick Mahomes? Because obviously whoever's taking his place isn't giving you the chance to win a critical game
So look at it. I totally get where you're going with Patrick Mahomes. But does it factor in that he's more mobile than, say, like a Ben Roethlisberger or a Phillip Rivers?
It might.
So like
he's more mobile, but
– I mean, I get the idea that he – potentially would get crushed, but he's more mobile, can get outside the pocket, maybe get a yard run out of bounds. Whereas somebody like Phillip Rivers, like he's just dead.
Phillip Rivers, yeah. Ben Roethlisberger can still shake tackles and extend plays, as we've seen him for forever doing that kind of thing. Rivers, you know, I saw an interesting little stat on Rivers. The Kansas City Chiefs, and I can't remember the exact numbers, but it was like roughly the Kansas City Chiefs had 158 passes to running backs last year. Phillip Rivers had 312.
300 in last year?
That's what it said.
So was his completion percentage like 10? Because Eckler didn't have that many catches.
No, he certainly didn't have... Well, I mean, you take
even at 50%, he'd have had 150 catches.
I know. Exactly. And I just thought that that was a weird stat.
That sounds like madness to me.
I know.
Mean, that would include fullbacks or...
Derek Watt.
Would it count, like, if tight end goes into the H-back position?
Yeah, maybe the H-back. Yeah, maybe they factored that
in. It's possible, yeah. But
still, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. Because, I mean, if you look at Phil Rivers, like, even last year, it said he had a 66% completion rating, 4,615 yards. You know, you would think with 4,615 yards, I mean, that's not far from 5,000 yards. He had 23 touchdowns and 20 picks.
Oh, he always liked to throw picks. That's kind of his thing.
True, but, I mean, it just seems really impotent for 4,615 yards, doesn't it?
Between the 20s. We always had running backs like that. Now we got a quarterback like that.
Right.
While we're talking fantasy, considering the fact that we have 25% of the Caveman Football League here right now, it's nearly a quorum. What are we going to do about the draft? We've got like four people who are hiding under their beds crying.
I don't care about
COVID.
Them. We're having
We normally have it in the studio here.
You realize,
are we going to do that?
You realize we're having a meeting tomorrow night, correct?
No. What are we meeting about?
Well, you've been on the group text.
I couldn't read it. There were 75 of them.
If you don't take your time to read, you don't gather information.
There were words he didn't read.
Yeah, words. Send
if
pictures.
You don't read, you don't gather
Those
information.
Gifts. Send gifts.
If you don't read, you don't gather information.
If you would give me information, I would have said information
Christian,
gathered.
Christian, was all the information in the text?
Yes.
I'm not reading.
I rest my case.
What are we meeting? Oh, the draft order.
Yes. Draft order, draft date, everything else.
What time, when, where?
At the normal brew pub that we always do in Slippery Rock.
All right.
And we were going to try 6:30.
No. All right. I could probably do that.
I don't see why not. So we can do
is it
that.
Open? Our bar's open?
Yes. We'll decide what our draft is.
Bar,
we are having it at Caveman headquarters.
All right, so we're having it in the studio.
Of course we are.
We're going to have to move it outside?
No.
Should we move it outside?
No.
I thought you were scared of the COVIDs.
Do I look like I'm afraid of anything?
Well, why'd we have to do this
other
stupid
than
thing with the
you.
iPad for like 2 months?
Well, because I didn't have any idea where the stuff was or anything. I wasn't about to bring it down here to your child or anything like that. Yeah you wave your hands, but you dote
well,
on her
you,
like crazy.
That's going to be a problem, though. I'm telling you, we've got some Corona bros in the league. It's going to be a problem.
If you don't show up, I've got guys that want to be in the league.
Do you?
Yes.
Well, who can we bounce?
A waiting
Let's
list.
Pick one. Let's whack one right now.
Well, it depends on who shows up or doesn't want to show
no,
up.
No, I say
but
we
we've got a good indicator of who doesn't.
Right. Is 3 out of 12 a quorum? Is that enough to boot somebody?
It depends. I'm the commissioner, so I can count for
yeah,
two.
Yeah, you pretty much wield
that's four.
You pretty much wield unmitigated power.
I
the
think.
Way this thing is run.
Well, you tend to agree with my decisions, so I mean it works out okay.
Or I just don't care enough to argue about it.
Well, I mean, if I ever the one time that I was ill or whatever it was that I had to relinquish commissionership powers to, who'd I give it to? The jarhead sitting across from me.
Because so. I am clearly, out of the remaining 11, the most trustworthy. So
yeah.
It only makes
and
sense.
And the most ogre-ized.
It just made sense. You know, I would. All right, these people don't want to hear about our fantasy
no, nobody
league.
Gives a damn. Anyway.
Hey, before you get off that topic.
Oh, so let's stay with
wow.
it. I like it.
Kind of fantasy related / not. Matthew Stafford, false positive COVID.
Yes. All year we're going to be dealing with it.
Yeah.
So let's take it beyond fantasy and say you're doing FanDuel or something like that. How do you think that's going to affect the season when they're doing testing? I think it's 90 minutes before kickoff that somebody can be deemed ineligible due to COVID, and then turn around and 2 days later it comes out that it was a false positive and go.
It doesn't, I mean, if they miss a game, it doesn't really much matter now, does it? You know what I'm saying? I mean, whether it's a false positive or not, if they missed a game, they missed a game.
But you wonder what the union, you know, will say about this. And you see, and I'll tell you what, there's more to it. With this Matt Stafford thing, did you see, it was actually pretty well written, what his wife put out wherever she posted that, where she just crushed the league. Said turned her whole family into pariahs, or the children were being harassed once they knew he wasn't positive, but it hadn't been announced publicly. They got run out of a park, out of a grocery store.
Who is going to harass people?
Everybody. People are nuts.
People are getting shot over not wearing masks.
Right. Yeah, I mean, this happens. Or vice versa. Somebody walks into a store, somebody asks them to wear a mask, and they give them the beat down. It's craziness.
You have the old wood shampoo.
Yeah, exactly. People are nuts about this.
They are. It's crazy. But as of today, you notice Travis Benjamin has opted out.
Right.
Wide receiver of the 49ers. Not that consequential. Marcus Gilbert from the Cardinals has opted out. Alan Hearns, he plays 3 weeks a year anyway. Who
right.
cares? Geronimo Allison, not with the Packers any longer.
Isn't
with the
he?
Lions.
Is
who
he
cares?
With the Lions?
Who else? Damari Scott from the Giants. Matt Lacoste, tight end, another Patriot gone.
Is there something up there? I think Belichick's up to some shenanigans, some skullduggery and malfeasance there.
It very well could be. You know, significant
tanking for Trevor.
Yeah, significant for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Elle Woods, defensive tackle, has opted out. Isaiah Prince, offensive tackle for the Bengals. And Damian Williams, obviously running back from the Chiefs, has opted out. And that is since the last show that we talked about. And there's a few other ones.
Didn't I see Albert Wilson just this
Albert
afternoon?
Wilson, yes,
didn't
you're right.
He do
I
that?
Forgot
didn't
about
I
him.
See that?
Another one, not all that impressive. But, yeah, I mean, that certainly ups the value, going back to fantasy, of your Devontae Parkers and your
right.
Preston McWilliams, right?
Or Wilson.
No, Albert Wilson Williams.
Well, it wasn't McMichael or whatever the hell
no,
you
said. No, I
said
Mick
said.
Williams. It's Williams. Mick I'm sorry, Williams. Yes. But, you know, Preston Williams coming back from the ACL, they said he may not be ready come week one. So, I mean, Devontae
Bad
Parker.
Bad tidings for Miami.
Devontae Parker could be getting 50 targets a game.
Hey, so speaking of, I don't know if you saw this apropos of absolutely nothing, but I just remembered I took a screen cap of this and I wanted to get to it. So I don't know if you saw this, but Marty Jannetty had a post on Facebook this morning.
Yes.
If you haven't seen it, I just want to read this. This is unbelievable. So some of this I'll have to self-edit. So.
Real quick.
Yes.
Let the viewers know who Marty Jannetty is.
The Rockers, Shawn Michaels' tag team partner.
Yeah,
former
Shawn
WWF
Michaels
superstar.
Turned on him famously on the –
threw him through the window.
Brutus the Barber, Beefcake.
Hey, I have a question before we get into Marty Jannetty.
This is fun.
How we're sitting here doing this show live, right?
Right.
I'm on Twitter, you know, monitoring just in case we get anything. And all of a sudden I see Alejandro Finkelstein tweets 1 minute ago – that he earned a Session Life Level 3 badge.
You know what I wanted to ask you about? How does the tweeters know what you're drinking?
It's an app called Untappd.
All right.
So, well, how did you just tweet a minute ago?
I didn't. So
but it just came up a minute ago.
I checked into the app with this lovely 18-watt IPA, and Untappd, whenever you get a badge, automatically sends it to my Twitter.
How do you get the badge?
By checking into X amount of IPAs.
By saying
or
you
stuff.
Drank 58 gallons of beer.
Yeah, that's actually pretty accurate.
Because I have always wondered, because there will be days it's prolific. It's just bang, bang, bang. He's drank 42 beers today. This can't be possible.
No, it happens.
Oh, yes, well, it is possible. Enough. Look at him. He looks like Billy Gibbons sitting over there, for God's sake.
Beer helps beards grow.
All right. Marty Jannetty.
Yes. The Rockers.
I never told no one this, even my brother Gino, because Gino would have killed him, and I didn't want my brother gone. Hell, he'd only recently come home from Vietnam. I was 13, working at Victory Lane's bowling alley, buying weed from a, and there's a word for that you can't say anymore, rhymes with bag.
Yeah.
We'll just say that. That worked there, and he put his hands on me. He dragged me around to the back of the building. You already know what he was going to try to do. That was the very first time I made a man disappear. They never found him. They should have looked in the Chattahoochee River, but Winnie, the girl in the pic, so he's got a picture of what I assume is his girlfriend. I likes you so did. Now, this is where it takes an even another. So he just confessed a murder. Twist. He just confessed a murder, and then he takes a hard left. I likes you so damn much, probably my favorite, but I promised myself way back then nobody would ever hurt me again. That includes you. I loved you, but you hurt me with your effing Jamaican jealousy. You can go your own way. I don't need you. And then there was a follow-up. Somebody asked him, you okay? And he says, yeah, me and Winnie just had a fallout. But if you're asking about the other thing, yeah, that was a billion years ago. Plus, I have the satisfaction of knowing that bitch ass, that word you should never say, especially when you look like Marty Jannetty, never got to do another kid like that. So he confesses to murder because he's having a fight with his girlfriend. There could be real-life consequences
and,
to this, couldn't
and
there?
And double down.
Right. Okay, I got a question for you. Now, you know, we're all the same similar type of ogres in this studio.
Right.
But at 13, I was not that bad. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
where you could kill somebody and throw them in a river?
I mean, this guy, you know, that he was describing was, you know, I think older, much, you know, seemed to be much older. And, you know, at 13, I don't really know if I could really overpower a grown man.
Right.
And kill him and then somehow haul his ass to a river and throw it in.
The Chattahoochee River.
Yeah, the Chattahoochee River, which kind of sounds like the ode to Billy Joe in a way.
I was thinking Alan Jackson.
Yeah, there's the Alan Jackson song.
Well, that's
true. You don't know the Chattahoochee song?
Yeah, well, yeah.
It's a catchy little number.
Yeah.
Way down yonder.
The Tallahatchie Bridge, I was thinking ode to Billy Joe, but yeah, you're an Alan Jackson,
never
right.
Knew how much that muddy water meant to him.
Yeah.
But he learned how to swim.
He actually knows a little bit of something.
He learned who he was, a lot about living, and a little about love.
Yep.
I could sing the whole thing. You want me to do that?
I'd rather not, no, because we don't have time, Rick. We would, but later.
We were fogging up the windows in my old Chevy.
Later.
I was willing, but she wasn't ready.
Actually, you're not singing it. You're talking it.
Well,
and that's
spoken word.
Hey, I got a great story.
I disagree.
I have a great story for us.
You're just...
We're just done with Marty Jannetty. He committed murder. What?
Well, no, but you seem to be. But so let's go back to Marty Jannetty.
He just confessed a murder
online.
Please,
let's go back to Marty Jannetty and not you trying to rap a country song.
I wasn't rapping. I was just...
You weren't doing anything.
Just with my docile tones speaking through it.
You stink.
That's fair.
When are the two of you going to grow up?
All right, move on.
Back to Marty Jannetty. Anyway, I made the point about a 13-year-old. I want you to enhance.
Well, I'm
just
wondering,
expand.
Has there been any follow-up? Has anybody seen? I mean, have the authorities contacted him?
I saw something on Twitter that there was no reports of missing people back in 1973 from that area of Georgia. I mean, I don't know. It could be.
So he said that he didn't tell his brother because he was concerned that his brother would do something after he had already taken care of the situation.
Well, I think
doesn't make any sense either.
What I'm thinking is the weed dealer must have had a propensity for putting his hand. But yeah, that it doesn't line up because he never got to put his hands on Marty Jannetty because he killed him.
He already killed him, threw him in a river. Why would you tell your brother anyway?
Who's he gonna
to kill him?
Yeah, who's his brother gonna come after?
Exactly. There's nobody left to come after.
I imagine he's probably got it all dinged up. He probably doesn't make
I think Marty
sense,
Jannetty's had a few concussions.
Yeah.
CT. I mean, he did take a hell of a kick there from Shawn Michaels, and then he got thrown through the wall.
Was that the first official super kick?
Oh, the sweet chin music.
Yeah.
I don't know if that is the first one.
I kind of feel like that was
the... If they had used that or before or not. But I'll tell you what, I can remember watching that live. That was shocking. I was very impressed.
A good heel turn, there's nothing better than. And
it's
got to be like
great.
That.
I mean, you have to have – those are the classic ones. The big turn of 1980 with Ole Anderson and Dusty Rhodes. Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty. That, I mean, those were great. And then Shawn Michaels, if I'm not mistaken, went to the Heartbreak Kid and Diesel. Kevin Nash was right. His bodyguard, remember? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was classic.
Yeah, this is right at the beginning of my wrestling time.
That's when wrestling
right
was still
there.
Wrestling.
Same,
yeah.
Same.
Exactly.
There was, I think it's...
We should try and get Kevin Nash on here.
I love that Kevin
might.
Nash on
we
here.
We had George the Animal Steel. We
yeah,
can
we
get
did
Kevin
have George
Nash.
The Animal Steel. Why not Kevin Nash? Kevin Nash was, I thought was, I guess he wasn't well-liked, but I thought he was underrated as well.
I think he was the realest such-and-such and still is. Like, that's why people didn't like him.
Him and Scott Hall.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. He didn't buy into the, you know, they were tired of being overshadowed by the Hulk Hogans, the Macho Mans and so forth, and not making money. And I mean, they were the young talent. They weren't given enough breaks until basically the NWO.
Yeah, it was the NWO when yeah. I first actually became aware of them because they were right. always in that bodyguard role or
yeah.
kind of. I don't want to say they were jobbers; they were above that, but not much right. above that. And then NWO, they became this unstoppable force.
So were you guys I think it was still WWF at that point.
I was an NWA fan back from like about 1980
you had to
through
take it to the 50s, as he always does.
Oh, I mean, no, back about 1980 because that was the Ric Flairs, the Dusty Rhodes, the Roddy Pipers, the Jake the Snake Roberts, all these kind of guys when at that time it was WWF. It was like still Bruno hanging around. It was Bob Backlund who was about as dry as you know, sand. It was horrible. And in the AWA, you had the Jesse the Body Venturas and the Nick Bockwinkles and so forth. You had those three main factions. And NWA at the time was head and shoulders. You had the Harley Races, everybody, the Funks, the Briscoes and so forth. But the McMahon, once the old man McMahon died and Vince Jr. took over, man, he started gobbling up territories like that.
Right.
And it was a monopoly. And you can tell it's a monopoly now. They have no talent. They have no jobbers. And the scripts are horrifying.
Well,
but there's nothing else to watch.
Never changing. Now, looking back on it, I think when we're talking like the Monday Night Wars, I was a WWF guy. Looking back on it, I think the WCW product was better. But here's how dumb I am, right? Shocker. This always comes back to how dumb I am. I just, the kind of the gray, dull color of WCW, I didn't enjoy watching. I know that's dumb, but you had Stone Cold and The Rock and these huge personalities. I think the WCW product was better, but I was a WWF guy.
I was WCW specifically black and red NWO.
Ooh,
Sting.
Very specific.
But at the same time, like I appreciated like the Dean Malenkos and the Perry Saturn before Perry Saturn went insane.
Right.
Like the kind of the throwback wrestlers that wrestled and it wasn't the glitz and glam. I don't know. But
see, I was the dumb fan who preferred Stone Cold breaking into a hospital room and hitting Vince McMahon with a bedpan and then The Rock throwing Stone Cold off a bridge. I kind of like that stuff.
But, you know, I guess, you know, you go back from like the 80s, like when I was like in the NWA, see, that was the type of thing. The Four Horsemen cornered Dusty Rhodes at his house and busted his arm and leg, you know, on camera, of course,
well,
you know.
There.
But, yeah, I mean, that was the same type of thing that they adopted in the attitude area, really. And I mean, the Four Horsemen started the whole thing. I don't even know if you're old enough to remember.
Barely.
There
was a brief period. The problem with the Four Horsemen in that was it WCW, kind of that first, if they were even called, whatever was on TBS at
right.
the time. And so growing up where I didn't have cable. So
right.
WWF was on network TV more often. But my grandparents had cable, so I would check it out. But I didn't see much of it.
Right.
really didn't because I didn't have access to it.
Exactly. Yeah, that was the thing about cable. Down south, of course, that's where I lived back down there. We had the TBS and we had
right.
all that. and it is the Gordon Solis and the Lance Russells, and you had that whole scheme of the NWA, the Four Horsemen, Harley Race. And that was always a cool thing. Like, you had the Four Horsemen, they'd beat the hell out of anybody that was on there. Harley Race was always a champion back then. He'd come on there and he'd start mouthing. And nobody come out pissed with him, ever. It was just one of those things.
Speaking of those crazy things, though, the one that sticks out of my mind, the stupidest yet my favorite, do you guys remember it was in the WWF, and they did a bit where the Big Show's dad had died,
and
they were at the cemetery, and the Big Boss Man shows up.
In a Blues Brothers car.
Yeah, hooks a chain up to his, I'm doing the air quotes, his father's casket, and drives off. That was so great.
I know. Like these people wouldn't be arrested, right?
It was just fantastic.
Yeah, or these casket matches where the Undertaker throws the lid open, you know, and sits up
that's classic. Or they're just the random pile of dirt at the top of the ramp, and he's burying people alive.
One of the classic ones is I remember the Undertaker, and I think it was NWO when they came to the WWF. Do you remember when the Undertaker came up through the mat and grabbed Kevin Nash and pulled him down through? I mean, it was classic.
It still, as a grown man, scares me every time his arm would pop up through the
And I'll tell you what, you take a 7-foot guy, remember back in the day, he could walk that top rope. I mean, that's wicked agility, man.
He might have been. I have never. I saw
well,
him.
You've seen him,
in
right.
person. I have never seen just that much mass on a human being. The height, the width, just thick. Oh my God! I was.
Well, I was here from you away from Andre the Giant, and that was the most impressive sight I've ever seen. That man was. I don't know how to describe. He's just humongous.
So, excuse me. Way back in the day, my grandfather was a huge Penn State fan. Everything Penn State. He would even watch like wrestling matches when they were broadcast. He lived over in Lewistown, which is just a bit away from State College. Nonetheless, we went to a tournament in State College, and I was 3 feet away from Brock Lesnar when he was a collegiate wrestler.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh.
Collegiate. That man had muscles where I was like, that's where you're supposed to have muscles.
Yeah.
And I hope he doesn't like pop out of nowhere and like whoop on me. Nicest guy in the world.
Really?
Really. Like the stories now where he just wants to be left alone and do his thing. Probably accurate, but he was so cool to like all the fans and the kids at the tournament.
It's true. You ever see some of these Make-A-Wish films or whatever?
Oh yeah.
They had some 11-year-old girl, some illness, I forget what it was, wanted to meet the Undertaker. I mean, there's the under. He's sitting there reading her kids' stories.
Right.
You know? I mean, you know, it's like, it's weird. I mean,
he was a nice guy when I met him outside of that strip club, but I think he was drunk too. So
you didn't walk up and say anything bad to him.
No, it was nice to meet you, sir.
Have you guys like been catching the Mark Calloway interviews that he's been doing post retirement?
What is it, like the Last Ride or whatever it's called? Yeah.
But since he's done a couple of podcasts and like a few actual interviews, and the stories he tells, like everything and anything that you could imagine Mark Calloway being is
obviously you guys remember, what is it, the 1998 Hell in a Cell with him and Cactus Jack or Mankind where he goes through. Watch that interview with Mark Calloway or The Undertaker, however you want to, describing that, you know. He says, he thought he killed him. He said that is the toughest man he'd ever seen in his life. You know, he had that tooth sticking through his lip, and he still got up. And it was
Mick Foley at Slippery Rock.
Really?
Slippery Rock University.
They say he's, just reading his books, I think, they say he's the most engaging man in the world.
And, like, above and beyond nice. Like, he engages you, and he will talk to you, and, like, it's just... like a lost best friend.
Those are guys like him, and you've probably seen a few of them over your years, in a bar, that you would never want to mess with ever. Because you couldn't hurt him no matter what you did.
Hitting him over the head with stools and he doesn't even look up.
And he laughs.
Oh, yeah. It's bad. We are 50 minutes into this show and have talked about absolutely nothing. What was that story you were trying to tell 20 minutes ago and I stopped you?
It's okay.
Is it sports related?
You ever hear of the Lady Celeste?
I have not.
I have.
Of course you have because you're knowledgeable.
Is this some music crap that you two are always
doing
to make me look dumb?
It's not crap. It has nothing to do with music.
Okay, good.
But there's nothing quite as creepy as a ghost ship. And perhaps the most famous of all is the Mary Celeste.
Oh, I should know about this. It's ghosts.
Yes, that's a ghost ship.
That's my account.
And the reason I took this is because captained by Benjamin Briggs.
Oh, is this your...
The merchant ship. Oh, yeah, it's my great-great-great-grandfather.
Nice.
The merchant ship left New York on November 1872. In addition to Briggs, the Mary Celeste carried his wife, his infant daughter, several sailors, and around 1,700 barrels of alcohol, all heading for Italy.
Shocker, a Briggs with a pile of booze around him. Weird.
Anyway, according to
Finkelstein
Briggs'
was a deckhand.
According to Briggs' diary, the trip was pleasant, but before they made it to Europe, something unusual happened. The Mary Celeste was discovered sailing along without a single person aboard. However, the lifeboat was gone, and there was a strong rope running from the ship into the sea. Which means, what, the lifeboat may have got cut off, right?
Right.
While the hatch doors had been removed, there weren't any other signs of distress. The Mary Celeste looked good as new. Tragically, no one ever found Captain Briggs or the crew. And it still touches my heart today. Some historians have blamed water spouts for their disappearance, which I don't really know what that is.
Water spout, I believe, is like a...
tornado?
Like a hurricane tornado, coming from the sea.
Yeah.
Instead While others of have down, considered pirates, giant waves, or mutinous sailors, but there's little evidence to support these theories. However, 19th century investigators did find something strange. Now, this is where it really gets cool.
I'm excited.
Of the 1,700 odd barrels on board, 9 were empty.
Shocker. A Briggs got all hammered and did something stupid.
Not only that, but those 9 barrels were made of red oak, while the others were made of white. So what is the significance there? I'm glad you asked that, Rick.
Oh, yes. What is the significance there, Rick?
I'm glad you asked that, Rick.
Damn.
Why?
Damn it.
While as Brian Dunning... of Skeptoid explains whatever
Skeptoid.
The hell Skeptoid
is. That is a periodical of note, I'll tell you that.
White oak is watertight, whereas red oak is porous. It's likely that 300 gallons of alcohol seeped out of those red oak barrels and began evaporating in the ship's hold. Worried the alcohol might explode, the sailors tried venting the room by removing the hatch doors, but to no avail. Why, I don't know. Desperate, everyone gathered into the lifeboat, but not before tying the raft to the Mary Celeste. That way, they could trail along from a distance and not worry about the larger vessel sailing away. Unfortunately, before they could make a plan to deal with the alcohol, it seems the rope was accidentally sliced in two. The Mary Celeste quickly floated off, leaving 10 terrified humans lost in the Atlantic Ocean.
But didn't they find the lifeboat?
No.
Oh, I thought they did.
No, only the boat, only the ship itself.
Well, then that's what happened.
Speaking of...
Why didn't they just stay there and drink booze?
That's where I'd go out.
If it's going to explode, it's
Why would
explode?
It explode? I mean, just I close the candles or the lanterns down, right?
I don't know.
Speaking of explosions and ships... Did you guys see the videos from Beirut?
Oh, my God.
Oh, that was a wicked explosion. Ammonium nitrate. You know, I used to spread ammonium nitrate on all my golf courses. I never knew it was that volatile till Oklahoma City.
His name is Rick Briggs.
Briggs. B-R-I-G-G-S.
Yeah. Until Oklahoma City, when they bombed that building. That's when the first time I really knew. I never knew that stuff could be used as a bomb. I just thought it was a fertilizer.
Just a fertilizer.
Yeah.
But when I worked for my dad, he had a contract spreading fertilizer for national forests, ammonium nitrate.
Oh, wow.
He used to roll down interstates with jet fuel and ammonium nitrate.
Nice.
Yeah. He'd be on a watch list.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hope he got paid a lot.
What do we got? 6 minutes left. We could talk about sports for 6 minutes, maybe.
Why? Are we a sports show?
Yeah, kind of. Oh. Loosely.
Well, the problem is we have 16 ounces, not 12.
Yeah, we could change the show.
Name I don't have any.
We could be the 16-ounce sports show on the 12-ounce sports network.
I'm down to water.
Wooter. Fancy water you have. Well, so real quick, now we have 5 minutes left. Did you see these player demands coming from the players in the Pac-12? This one actually irritated me. So basically, they're not going to play unless they get 50% of all revenue produced by football, 6-year scholarships, 1-year transfer with no penalty, and if undrafted, can return and be eligible. So the last two, maybe the one before the scholarships, I can live with. In what world do they think they're going to get 50% of revenue? It puts people of this mindset in a tough spot because, number one, you obviously want the players to be paid, right? And maybe they do deserve it. But on the other hand, you eliminate every non-revenue sport and every woman's sport in the Pac-12 if you do this. This is maddening. And I guess what I can't figure out, what nobody has said, who is organizing these kids? Do you really have, 120 players on a Division I football roster across 12 teams? How did you get this organized? And is this even real? Is this even real? I think I'm calling BS on this whole thing. And there's like one spokesman from UCLA, and he thinks he's speaking for everybody.
So not knowing the numbers, but what does that do for the minor leagues? Like, would it pay more to stay in college and play than go to the CFL or the
I mean, 50% XFL. Of football revenue from USC, that's a pile of money.
Now, is it going to be spread? Is it specifically university to university, or is it spread out like the NFL?
Shocker. They have offered no details, but of course ESPN's screaming from the rooftops, this is the greatest idea ever, and this has to happen. You know, not factoring into probably illegal with Title IX. You can't do it. It can't be done.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I agree. You know, you bring in Title IX and everything. How can they do this, right? Seriously.
No, it can't. It can't be done. That money is used in the Well, first of all, football funds every athletic department of every college in the country. If you have a major football program, that funds the entire athletic department. That's what we're seeing with COVID and why, you know, they want to say, oh,
yeah,
the
your
NCAA
big schools
is
basketball and football and basketball.
The NCAA is
right.
Greedy and desperate, and they just want to get, they want this TV money. No, these schools need it. Entire athletic budgets are funded by college football. This is why they're so desperate to get it done. But what I do wonder, now we're only down to a couple minutes, we probably should have brought this up before we talked about ghost ships and The Undertaker for 40 minutes, but this is what we do, right? So.
And we like the Undertaker.
I do wonder if this feels
He's
like
a nice guy.
Right. This feels like another salvo towards the end of the NCAA, right? Where they're just going to be professionals. This one isn't going to happen. It's not well thought out. It can't be executed. But within these conferences, the players are starting to organize. There's a big, big change coming to college sports, especially major college sports, football and probably basketball.
It's 2020.
Yeah. I'm tired of 2020. It needs to go.
I'm really especially with this COVID and everything, with all these programs being canceled and everything, I'm wondering if we see a trend. We don't see some of these things even coming back.
Oh, I'm sure.
Once
not.
It's over, you know, even once this virus is over, I just don't see a lot of the stuff coming back.
And I think at the college level, I mean, if the players get their way and they seem to have enough political influence behind them.
I mean, without sounding bad, but I mean, women's lacrosse
field hockey.
Huh? Field hockey for either sex. I mean, it just
they play men's field hockey?
I don't think so.
I don't know. Maybe not. I don't even
I'd
watch
that.
Men's field hockey?
Yeah.
I think just go with lacrosse.
I mean,
there they got to bend over cuz they just got that little short stick.
I mean,
that's
you have basketball, you have football.
Yeah.
They're going to play golf, I'm sure. I mean, there can't be that much involved in that, correct? I mean, they're going to play...
10 seconds, Rick.
What's that?
Talk faster. We're running out of time.
That's all right. Oh. We'll pick this up later.
All right. Yeah, maybe next week we'll talk sports. So thanks for joining us this week on It's Everything But Sports. Should be have to be the new the new title of the show. We'll be back next week. Check everything out. 12OnSportsNetwork.com, at 12OZ Sports, at Asylum Football, AsylumFantasySports.com. Until next time, we'll see you.
Take care.